T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back in here on Cody and Gold, presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com. Steven Serta, Cody Tapp, Alex Gold with your reminder. You can hit us up on Twitter, give us a follow there. Probably already follow Cody and Serta at this point. But at Alex Gold, at Cody B. Tapp, at Steven Serta, at 610 Sports KC. I love that, by the way. Dislocated shoulder. Oh, he's probably good in 2 weeks. He might be good to go in 2 weeks. Dislocated shoulder.
Football, man. I dislocated my shoulder once. It sucked. I did not think I was ready. I was letting a state finalist for wrestling show me how to do a toss, and I apparently don't know how to land.
I thought you were about to say you'd wrestled in high school or something.
No.
I was like, wow,
no.
I was pretty impressed.
In high school, there were 5 state qualifiers at Winnetonka High School. We had 5 state qualifiers. It was a pretty good year. And a state champion. But one of the state qualifiers was my buddy, and I was like, oh, we were doing a feature video because I was in journalism then. Said, hey, give me a toss. That'll look good. But apparently in wrestling, they teach you how to fall. And I didn't know how to fall. And so when he went to toss me, my arm shot out to catch myself. And that's when my shoulder dislocated and it felt very bad. So putting it in felt worse than it going out.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Much worse. Putting it back in felt much worse.
I feel like there's a drop there Serta can use for the future as well. I appreciate that as well. Cody and Gold here coming up in about 30 minutes, our national cash contest. Cody, I have your next code word for you. Plus, Bink and Kling going to stop by for the forum. We'll get their thoughts on all things Chiefs and the Super Bowl, plus these living conditions we got to get into. So we're all headed to Miami. It's going to be a ton of fun. The entire 610 crew, all the shows are headed there Sunday morning. And we've got some interesting living conditions for about 8 days in Miami. So we're going to get into some of that. We really honestly have no idea how this is going to go. It's going to produce great content for the show, I think. Cody and I are going to get to know each other a lot more. We've done this show, this is our 15th show, I think, that we've done. And now we're going to spend like 8 days. We talk 4 hours a day already on the air. And now we're going to be living together for about 8 days.
Find out who wants to be the little and big spoon. That's our situation moving forward.
You've already called Sofa.
Yep. Dibs.
I think I'm going to have to go get an air mattress or something. So we'll get into that with Kling and Bink coming up in just a little bit. Looking at
head to toe.
What's
head to toe?
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. Agreed. I'm with Serta. There is at least one king bed. Two people are going to sleep
in
a bed.
That's not happening. I already cross off the bed. Neither of us are getting the bed. That's going to Fesco and Kling, as it should.
Well, but they might want the two queen beds, which leaves
I didn't know we have 3 beds. I thought we just had a king and
a
two.
No.
Okay, we'll get into this with
Kling. A king and 2 queens. We'll talk about this in a minute.
Okay.
Head to toe.
I had no idea.
It's the play.
Yeah. Somebody's going head to toe.
It's just not going to work. I'm 6'2". That's not going to work.
How do you think? Your height has nothing to do with the situation I just described.
In the sofa.
In the sofa it does, but a head to toe situation it does not.
In the bed, the head to toe, yeah.
It's a king size bed. Your height has no bearing.
I'm just telling you, there's no way we're getting the bed. I would be stunned.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to negotiate that, by all means, I'll let you handle that. You've got a little more staying power. I mean, I definitely can't say anything.
Yeah, you're only above, like, BK in sleeping conditions. That's it. That's your ranking list.
So we'll ask Kling about this coming up during the forum. But Mahomes and this Chiefs team heading in, and really this postseason, all of a sudden, Mahomes has become the leading rusher for this football team the last 2 weeks. And we all know what he's been doing with his legs. More than anything else, to me, it's because he's been healthy. And this is something that I don't know if I'll go as far as you have, where is this kind of this secret weapon almost for Kansas City at this point in time, and that it's just something that Andy Reid has been waiting to bring out. I think it is more about Patrick Mahomes is healthy, the way teams are defending the Chiefs right now, especially with Travis Kelce coming off. I'm talking about this Titans game even. The way Travis Kelce performed against the Texans, Tyreek Hill, everybody on the offense for the most part is healthy right now. Patrick Mahomes would not be able to do what he's done the last 2 weeks if this was, as week 11, whatever the week would have been, where he was still coming back from that dislocated kneecap, or prior to the dislocated kneecap against the Broncos where his ankle was bugging him. I think it's more about this is something he would have liked to have run more early in the season as well. It's just he wasn't healthy. Very early in the season, he wasn't healthy. And so I think it's more just about, all right, his ability to run has always been there, and these opportunities have existed. Now he's just comfortable. His body feels better, and now he's having success doing it because of the way teams are attacking Kansas City defensively.
But Andy has gone back to using it intentionally. Some of that stuff, like the Mahomes, the touchdown run that we will talk about for years to come, that's some freelance stuff. But Andy has been intentionally making him move. And by when I say legs, I don't necessarily mean like designed quarterback runs like they do with Lamar Jackson. But they have started to move him around a little bit, which makes them more difficult to defend. It was what was such a key part of what their offense did last year, motion. And I don't just mean pre-snap motion, motion. They like to move the offense. Everybody be moving, constantly moving, because nobody's better in the NFL at throwing back those cutback throws than Mahomes does when everybody's kind of going to one side of the field. Because as much as we talk about a receiver has the benefit of knowing where he's going, which means his route can break sooner and it's difficult for you, when everyone's running to the right, you don't know when they're going to stop, and Mahomes does. It's an added advantage, and what I've seen over the last couple of games, and why I said secret weapon versus what they had been doing, Mahomes' legs being the secret weapon is true, because Andy is now using it a way that they hadn't used it since last season. And I think teams had gotten back to the point where they weren't counting on it the same. And I do think that their offense has evolved to the point that you can't focus on it the way that maybe you had wanted to in times past too, because they are so good downfield. You can't leave a spy on Patrick Mahomes. You can't leave somebody with an option. You know, defensive linemen, sometimes they'll work with option of, look, fall back. Your job is now to contain the Mahomes run. You can't do that either. Because if you let him stand back there and pick apart the defense, you're screwed. If you let the offense just get all one-on-one down the field, you're screwed. If you lead a spy to try to stop him from the running ability, that's one less person on the back part of the defense to cover him. I think it's a secret weapon. Maybe it's not secret because teams know he can run, but there is no defendable option for the running game. That is always part of what they'll be able to get. That I saw two things in that last game. He was able to run whenever the hell he wanted, and they were just giving up the flat. In an Andy Reid offense, the idea that the flat is just given up is crazy to me. Mahomes passed up two, probably 8 to 12 yard gains for passes in the flat to Damian Williams, and instead got better options down the field. If that's already what you're giving up, how the hell can you do anything to stop him from running?
That was one of the things in the Titans game that I was surprised. I expected Tennessee going into blitz Kansas City a ton, put a ton of pressure on Mahomes. And there were times in that game, and I would say more than not, where they were just rushing three, Cody. And they were so concerned about the deep ball, deep threats from Tyreek Hill, and I guess Sammy Watkins to a certain extent, ended up beating him on it. And trying to bracket Travis Kelce at times as well. I think it was some of that, just the way Tennessee played them, whereas like I don't know how much in this Niners game Mahomes will be able to do that. Doesn't mean other things won't open up, because clearly they're well aware of what Mahomes has done with his feet the last couple of weeks. So, okay, what else is that going to open up? I think it's something Kansas City is going to use, but I will be very surprised if Mahomes is the leading rusher in the Super Bowl for Kansas City. I just will, because I look at the personnel for San Francisco versus what we've seen really the last 2 weeks, especially from the Titans and the way they approached, whether it was personnel and also just how they attacked the Kansas City offense. I couldn't believe that they were not putting more pressure. And the O-line for Kansas City played fantastic. I understand that. I mean, Mahomes was sacked three times in the game, and he was sacked that one time on the first drive. And after that, the O-line did a great job. But I think some of it is also just the way that the Titans attack Kansas City, that I will be stunned if that's the approach the Niners take, which was kind of sit back a little bit and let Mahomes – essentially, they let Mahomes have all day back there.
If you gave me – actually, he was 3 of 9 for 19 yards under pressure, like when blitzed in that game, and significantly better when not. But also, the offensive line did a really good job. So that's a different part of that conversation. Yeah. Like, part of the reason he had so much time is because the offensive line played so well in that game. But – like, if you gave me Mahomes of the field for a leading rusher, I'd probably have to take the field just based on odds. And the distribution of rushing attempts was much more split up between Damian Williams and Darwin Thompson and LeSean McCoy than it had been in the previous week when Damian Williams got all the snaps. But also, if you made me just say Mahomes or choose one other running back, I'd probably just take Mahomes. Because there's no reason at this point to see that it hasn't been that way. I've just seen so many tricks now that point of it, I think part of the reason the run game comes up is because Andy Reid is just letting him do it. Like, Andy Reid just lets him drop back there and survey and take whatever he wants. There isn't as much gimmick in what they do in third and fourth down on those conversions that there used to be. It's not that they don't still do those little flip passes to Tyreek Hill, but it's been a lot more just straight drop back, let Mahomes pick his parts, and sometimes that comes in the running game. I just still think he's dangerous. Because in the losses, the Chiefs get run all over. In the wins, they typically are a really effective passing team. The Chiefs don't have to run the ball well to win. We know that. Versus like what the 49ers do when they're playing.
The first three plays of this past week's game, that initially I'm watching the first three plays against the Titans. I don't know if you guys had the same feeling. And just you mentioned they haven't been as gimmicky. The first three plays, specifically the first two against the Titans, seemed a little more on the gimmicky route than we had seen in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and only borderline, because that's really just within the design structure of their offense.
Right, and it just and obviously they didn't have success on the first three plays, and then it seemed like it was more about open things up a little bit. It was just a three play sample size. Those are scripted right out of the gate, and obviously Tennessee was clearly ready for those. But I'll go ahead and say, and I don't know, we'll see as prop bets come out what the over under rushing yard total for Mahomes would be. I'd be very curious.
I bet it's 20.
At 20, though, I have to take the over if it's 20, though. Even though I just got done saying he won't be the leading rusher, I think at 20 you almost have to, because even if his escapability, he could still break one for 15 yards at any given time.
Probably. And obviously, you'd rather give that up. Mahomes can beat you so bad deep, you'd almost rather just give up the 10-yard run sometimes than what he might do to you downfield. That's just given the opportunity. You just don't really want to risk it. It's just not worth the opportunity. Because anytime I look, you evaluate the Chiefs' loss and how it happened. We went over those last week. Hey, how are the four times the Chiefs lost during the season? Okay, one time they didn't have Patrick Mahomes, throw that into a fire. The two other times were against the Titans and the Texans. They had an early lead against the Texans and then just kind of sputtered offensively. They had a late lead against the Texans or the Titans and then just blew it late through 2 minutes. Like, it was easy enough to diagnose. I went on the flip side of that too, by the way, and looked at what the 49ers did, because it's the same thing. Like, do they get beat by a quarterback rushing the ball when those situations occur? Because that's what you'd want to know. Like, if I'm calling it a secret weapon, is that how the 49ers get beat in there? And for the most part, they just get beat by better quarterbacks. Better quarterbacks than Garoppolo. They started the season 8-0. They outscored their opponents 235-102. That's a lot, by the way. That's an average margin of victory of about 29-12. I'm rounding. Then in the second half of the season, they finished 5-3. They outscored their opponents still, but only 244, so more offense, barely, to 208, so more than 100 more points allowed. That's an average score of 30-26.
And one of those
that's a defense that ranked in the top two in the NFL this season.
And one of those games was, 48-45, a win down in New Orleans against Drew Brees.
Correct. That was one of the wins.
Yeah.
One of the wins was a big chunk of those points. But the thing to take away in those losses is not necessarily about mobile quarterbacks, which Patrick Mahomes looks more mobile now than he did, and more about quality opponents. When they were 8-0, here's who they beat. You tell me when you hear a good team. Tampa Bay. Cincinnati. Pittsburgh.
Was that when Big Ben was still around?
Week three.
Big Ben, was he still around?
Yes.
Oh, I'll go ahead. At the time, I'll go ahead and say yeah.
Cleveland. L.A. L.A. was fine. They were not a bad team. They're fine. Washington, Carolina, and Arizona. Yikes. So, in which of those matchups did they have the worst quarterback matchup from Jimmy G? If you want to have some Roethlisberger.
It'd be the Roethlisberger. That would be the only one, though, that I would entertain.
Other than Goff, and I would still take probably Garoppolo, although I would say that they're pretty much a wash.
Very similar.
I wouldn't say that they have the disadvantage, but it's probably just a wash of quarterbacks, right? And then in their back half of the season, they played Seattle, who they lost to. I would say Russell Wilson's better than Jimmy Garoppolo. Arizona, who they lost to. Kyler Murray, that one's kind of embarrassing. That is a mobile quarterback, and Kyler Murray cut him up pretty good. Green Bay, Baltimore, who they lost to, Lamar Jackson. I don't think that has to do with mobile quarterback as much as Lamar Jackson in MVP season.
But don't forget about that game, too. Remember, that was the rainout, washout game. Low scoring, 16-15 or 15-13. Just old school style of game, and the weather was a mess. So that one, just the game as a whole dictated, and the weather dictated things a little bit differently.
New Orleans, who they did beat with the better quarterback, Atlanta, L.A., and Seattle. The teams that they lose to are not necessarily the mobile quarterbacks, although they have lost to two. And Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson, so they should try to take advantage of that. They just lose to quarterbacks who have more talent than their quarterback.
And Arizona gave them problems both times they played this season. I think they beat them the second time, but they lost to them the first time. But it was a close game, and Kyler Murray was good in both of those games.
So you should be using his legs. Mahomes should use his legs in this game.
Well, and that's what's so impressive about him starting to use his legs now, and what makes it so impossible to defend is the 49ers are heavily reliant on their secondary and their athletic linebackers to take receivers out of the game so their pass rush can eventually get there. But what makes Mahomes so dangerous is that now he's just implementing that element of his game. Those guys can't come up to watch for him to run. They have to stick with those guys because he'll beat them deep. So that is something that I think is going to play a huge factor.
I don't see, like, the correlation for me for when they lose and when they don't has a lot to do with the caliber of quarterback they play. Like, they gave up 26 points a game in the second half of that season, and they had to play real quarterbacks.
Now
they
we can say
Russell,
that.
They had to play Russell Wilson twice. Oh, you can say that. So
how many teams? That what Kyler exactly
Murray,
what you
who
just said?
Better, Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, Jared Goff. Those are all quarterbacks. So I just, it's the same thing that we talk about the run defense. Like, I'm supposed to just accept that the 49ers are a great defense. And while I think they are a very good, maybe they're a great defense, I will point out that their worst version of their defense was giving up 26 points a game to good quarterbacks. A few great quarterbacks, a lot of good quarterbacks. That should stand some sort of factor in
when
they lose these games.
It absolutely does, and that's why, in any time you're going to have Mahomes in the equation, that is always going to be part of the conversation, and that is always going to be the advantage that every single game you're going to have.
Yes.
No matter how good that defense is, you're going to say, well, how do they fare against some of these other good quarterbacks, or in some cases great quarterbacks? Russell Wilson certainly is the one that comes to mind right off the bat. And those are fine conversations to be had, but Mahomes is above all those guys we just mentioned as well. I mean, if you're trying to look at...
Although Russell Wilson's had a great year and is a great quarterback.
Russell Wilson was more in the MVP conversation than Patrick Mahomes ever was this year, for sure.
Yes, and Aaron Rodgers is also a great quarterback, but in the twilight, let's say, of his career. So he's not the same caliber of quarterback as Patrick Mahomes today. Let's not say career-wise yet, but today he's not the same caliber. I wonder how they don't... I think that's somewhere they need to expose. I think, and sort of pointed out in the show that, like, their linebackers are better, right? So they might be able to close the gap a little bit better. So maybe 15-yard runs are only 8, but they're still 8. Like, that should be part of their designed running game. For the Chiefs, they don't have to hand it to Damian Williams 27 times in order to make this work. I'm not saying that it needs to be a designed run as much as make sure that there are lanes for him if the options aren't deep. Because, I don't think they can just cave on those. They can't let their receivers go to worry about Mahomes, because if they do that, Mahomes will absolutely torch them.
Yeah, the quote after the game, even from Andy Reid, quote, it's just part of the game. He knows that. I don't have to tell him anything on that. It helps, especially with stuff like coverage they're presenting. They have the ultimate respect for him. They're doubling our guys. You aren't just getting one guy doubled, but two guys doubled. And that speaks to, that gets into the weapons conversation and how much this offense, now that, I mean, think about what Sammy Watkins' performance in this postseason can do for you. Not even if he doesn't have the big stats in the Super Bowl, but just because he's coming off that big game, it's like truly, truly pick your poison. What on earth are you going to do against this Chiefs offense?
And that's a question. Where you give up the running yards to, I think the short passing game might matter more in this game than it has for the while in the Chiefs, because they've been getting some deep threats. That short passing game was always the threat when he couldn't move. He can move again.
Over on the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line 69306, someone points out that the Cardinals actually did not beat the 49ers this year. Should have, but the Niners did not lose to Arizona this year. I did look that up. They actually did not lose to them. Also, the 49ers are 1-2 against...
Seattle. That's who lost to them. I was getting them mixed
Seattle
up.
Struggled. Yeah. Seattle struggled, I guess, against them. But still, despite the loss, he being Kyler Murray, was able to get his in those games. So something to keep an eye on. And when we have some of these former players on, it'll be interesting to get their perspective on Radio Row, just about what they see from Mahomes and the adjustment and his role in running the football. As you said, you know, some of it is by design, but a lot of it has been just when it's been there, he's been able to take
it. He takes it when it's there.
No doubt about that. Coming up in 12 minutes, your next chance in our national cash contest, $1,000 on the line, plus the Forum. Kling and Bink going to be in studio with us. We'll have some fun with those guys, talking about a trip down to Miami, some of the living conditions, and also a phone call we got yesterday about Super Bowl weddings. And see if they're on your side, Cody, or mine. I guess Cody and Serta's side on that. But the officiating, what's been nice, the officiating has not been, the last two games for Kansas City, a huge topic. You know, Kansas City has won both of these games. Yeah, there's a pass interference call here or there that somebody might debate, but the officiating hasn't been at the forefront. when there has been officiating, it's been a huge topic immediately after the games. Well, in games, I don't think any of us expect what a commentator, what an analyst has to say during a broadcast is something that at the time can actually impact what is happening on the field. We can all give our analysis after the fact or on Twitter, but none of that is getting back to the referees, right? Or at least that's what we thought, but that might not actually be the case, Tony Romo.
According to a report from Pro Football Talk for NBC Sports, the NFL doesn't have a sky judge, right? Like somebody who just watches the TV feed and then does things based on what he sees on the TV, penalty or otherwise. But they do have people who listen into those things. And at a point during the Chiefs and Titans game, there was a flag for 12 men on the field, and it was not thrown until after Tony Romo had said on the broadcast that there were 12. And that's one of those flags like illegal motion or illegal formation that they throw immediately. I'm not saying that's an easy job to try to count up the guys. I probably would forget to do it. But I don't want what Tony Romo says on the broadcast, even if it is the right call. I don't want TV broadcasts to affect calls that happen on the field.
How does it get there that quickly? I mean, I would love the sky judge, like a true official that's a sky judge saying, hey, you missed this. Let's get this correct.
So I think they're listening and have headsets. It's not that hard.
Oh, it would be fine. I'm just wondering, though, why are there NFL officials? Why are they listening to Romo anyway? To me, they shouldn't even be listening to the broadcast in that regard.
Former NFL referee Terry McCauley, who's now the analyst, right? He had said it looked like the referees talked to New York after that play had taken place for the 12 men on the penalty. So take it what you will. Tony Romo said it. Terry McCauley, who used to do that job, said it certainly looked like they were talking to New York. York has the game on.
I understand they have the game. I would hope they have the game on. Of course they have the game on, but yes. Why are they listening? Why are they listening to Romo that intently?
I don't like it. I don't know why they are. I don't like it.
They should have that game on mute.
I don't want Tony Romo being like, boy, that looks like pass interference. So, and then they dial up pass interference calls.
So we're blaming Tony Romo for the refs being bad at their jobs?
No. Romo's good here. He's fine for calling out the job.
I'm not going to blame Tony Romo for anything. Romo's just making observations as the game goes on.
Oh, blaming New York, blaming Al Riveron for not having his crew ready to go and for them not to recognize it right away.
In fairness,
it's the back judge who's at the back of the play is the one that's supposed to be counting the players on the field.
Oh, well, I'm sure we're all just going to admit that for every play, we would always remember to count.
If that's your job and you're in that rhythm, I think you do. Yeah, you probably count it in your sleep.
If you got to put like a play sheet on your arm like the quarterback does to remember to count all the players and do it.
A checklist before the snap, the refs.
I got to be honest. I would screw that up. Even if it were my job, it feels like the easiest screw up part. Like you're standing back there and you're like, all right, got to count to 12. And then you're like, oh man, what happened on that last play? Oh, God, I'm supposed to count to 12. That's probably there's 11. It's fine. And then, like, the other time you'd be like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Wait, did I count that guy? 11? Was I at 12? I better count again. Hut, hike.
If that's the case, then we should have the sky judge, and that sky judge's job. The field, they shouldn't even have to worry about counting anymore. Somebody up as the sky judge that automatically counts before the play. And literally, only way you can be called for 12 men on the field should be from the sky judge up top.
Great. It's like they only want to use replay for stupid things. When it's just as easily like Serta could sit in there, and Serta's definitive job is to just count to 12. He's got no other responsibility. He's just supposed to count to 12. Or we let Tony Romo do it. I don't really care who handles it.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
The referee in the field, it's a lot going on to also just like, it's easy to remember small show things in your life. The idea of counting to 12 also feels like it would be a large challenge in the midst of like hurry up and things going on. And sometimes there's a lot you got to do in a game.
There's no way, right? Some of those hurry up situations, there's no way you almost in some of those substitutions, unless they're holding and the defense gets a chance to make the substitution as well. Like, how are you able to count? How are those refs able to do it so quickly?
People aren't supposed to be coming off the field all that quick, so hopefully you're fine. But again, prayer. You're just hoping. You know how easy it is to miscount something quickly? Like, how many chips do you have? Six. It's hard. It's just not that hard.
Shouldn't be surprised when the NFL is still using chains and to figure out first downs, though. So we shouldn't be surprised by any of this. Up next, your chance at our national cash contest at $1,000 and the forum. Kling and Bink stopping by.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at CaseyLend.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold, presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the Fix and Flip Guys at kclind.com. Time for our national cash contest, a chance at $1,000.
1,000 on the 30s. Text the code word airplane to 72881. That's AIRPLANE. You can be a $1,000 cash winner in the national cash contest. We had a $1,000 winner. We want to get another one here on Cody and Gold. As you know, 610 Sports Radio is the only sports radio station in Kansas City giving you a chance at $8,000 each weekday. Just listen on the 30s from 8:30 to 4:30. We'll have another chance coming up at 12:30. Text AIRPLANE, AIRPLANE, to 72881.
Time for the forum. We've got Josh Klingler and Jay Binkley in studio with us. What's going on, guys? How are we feeling?
Get Bink's microphone.
Oh,
on.
There we go. Doing good.
Alex, I'm jealous you have the sweatshirt. I see the sweatshirt today. That's fantastic. The sweatshirts were not, when we were in the store early in the day yesterday, the sweatshirts were not available, but I'll have to continue to add to the family purchases and the debt that is rolling up t-shirt and sweatshirt.
That's what I said. You've got to invest. You got to invest in the gear right now. You never know when you're going to get it again.
No. You got to get it now. It's been my whole lifetime. I'm 46. They haven't been.
Have you got the gear yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. I'm kind of like Cody here. You know, you kind of wait till it's afterwards. And
I'm thinking like September 2021.
Yeah.
There's going to be some good deals on some of that. Yeah. And will anyone know that I purchased it in 2021? No.
No, it'll look new. Like, that shirt looks new.
I just got my Always October sweatshirt last week. Right. From 14.
Oh, I've looked online. There's still some Royals 2015 gear on clearance. Still some. Nobody's going to know the difference. No, you're exactly right when
it
comes to that.
Always October. Always October.
So, we were joking off air, though, earlier just about Miami and heading down there. Like, this is going to be interesting trying to get this whole living arrangement thing figured out here. So, Cody thinks he's already got things figured out here, and he's already trying to reserve sofas and beds. I said, the beds, I already know. The beds are going to Fesco and Kling. I've already figured that out. That's how is going to work.
I have not looked into this at all. I just know we're like in one house, like real world style, right?
Here's my great soundbite for that. You might get trained.
Here's my understanding of what the situation is. There's one king bed. There are two queen beds. There are two couches. I want to call dibs to a couch. I feel like I've got that level of pull. I just want a couch. I obviously think...
So we're sharing beds with coworkers, potentially.
Yes.
It's head to toe.
What are we, like 15?
South, it's Miami.
14,
it's,
if you guys don't want a bed so bad that you're not willing to sleep head to toe...
Just declare your layer. Declare your layer before you go to bed. We're adults here.
This is why you and Fesco have the oldest kids. You've been around the longest. You can have the two queen beds. We're good. I am willing to sleep head to toe in a king size bed, but realize I might not get that opportunity. I will settle for a couch.
I've already thought about this. I think most likely I'm going to end up having to go to a store and buy an air mattress is, I think, where this is headed. I believe that's where this is going to end up when it's all said and done.
You can expense that?
No, I'm just going to have to eat it. If it means sleep, getting a little bit of sleep.
Just don't get one with like the Super Bowl logo on it. That'll cost you extra, so don't be buying that one.
They didn't have the Mahomes inflatable air mattress available down there or anything?
Don't be doing that. Don't be doing that.
Just find some cardboard cutout to turn into a bed from Radio. Just steal something off of the Radio Row set.
Is Radio Row open all night? Can you just sleep there?
Oh, it's 24 hours a day. It always has been.
Yeah.
In my experience, it always has been. You can pretty much, just as long as you have a credential, you can get in there any time of day.
Well, it's worldwide, so you got people working literally
on
some time zone at some point.
So the time to steal something to make for a bed is certainly in like the 2 a.m. range.
There will be plenty of show content. I would guess it's going to come out of us all. What, eight of us being under one roof?
I snore, so deal with it, everyone.
As I say, you won't be the only one, I'm sure, down there that's snoring. That's
you bringing your Speedo gold?
Is we get approval on that?
You get approval?
Okay. Well, now that I know it's approved, we might have to do that. We have to do it. Cody's looking at me over here.
With the Super Bowl 54
AFC champs.
Yeah, I mean, this hoodie is not the only thing I bought yesterday. Right. There's been some other things that were purchased for sure. As far as the Super Bowl, what was that like for you guys? Bink, you mentioned your whole life for the most part. I mean, to get to a Super Bowl, we all had certain memories and moments in our life that have happened. Maybe you never thought the day would come that Kansas City would make it to the Super Bowl. So what was that like for you even on Sunday, seeing Kansas City beat the Titans to get to the big dance there?
It was weird because, you know, I did the post game with Pete, then I went home, and instead of going to the bar to celebrate or whatever, I just went home, drank some beer, ordered some pizza and rewatched the game. You know, it's like I couldn't believe it. I still couldn't believe
Andy Reid over here.
You need a cheeseburger.
Yeah, cheeseburger, and I went to bed. No, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, I still can't believe it. It seems too good to be true. And if they win the Super Bowl, it's going to probably take a week or two before I process it. That's the way the Royals were. You know, it's like it hits you so fast. You don't forget how fast it was. Oh, York is like, boom, Royals are world champions. You know, let's get ready for the parade and do whatever. But, yeah, I've been waiting for this because all the heartaches, man. You know, the Lynn Elliotts and Derrick Henry running all over them in the playoffs, blowing that lead in Indianapolis to Andrew Luck. It's just one thing after another, but the fans just always stayed there. That huge drought between 94 and 2016, not winning a playoff game. You know, people were born in this town, could drink at a bar without ever seeing a postseason win. You know, so I had plenty of holes in the wall. Now it's time to replace them.
How about that?
Take those pictures off and put some plaster down. Because I have a ton of pictures because of all my holes.
Going to start drywalling again.
Seriously.
It's finally safe to fix that wall that you've been just punching.
Every Chiefs playoff loss, I have a hole in the wall.
Is it the same general vicinity, so you only have to replace like one
panel? No, they're all
panel?
Over the place. Buy a lot of pictures.
See, you should have.
You need to get a stud-to-stud distance. It's easier for the taping and money.
Yeah, oh, man, if I would ever punch one of those studs.
Oh, yeah, you got
to
make sure.
So you have to use stud finder before you punch the wall.
Got to mark those ahead of time. At some point, I don't know when it was, at some point I kind of mellowed in my Chiefs fandom where the expectation wasn't there. Like, I was in the mode of, like, I'll let it happen when they get there. And I think even last year when they were on the cusp of it, I didn't let myself, like, think ahead, like, feel ahead, like it was going to happen. Even when, you know, we all, quote-unquote, thought it was going to, I didn't let myself get there yet. And I think I was like, right until the clock struck zero. Like, even when the first kneel down was there, and I'm like, all right, we sure this thing's over? All right, I'm sure this thing's over? And then I felt more kind of shock than anything else. I was kind of like, did that just really happen? Because I think I'd kind of gotten numb to the whole hopefulness of being a Chiefs fan.
And there's a surreal nature of, like, you spent all these years, like, we all watch the Super Bowl. We work in sports radio. It's a big event. We're always going to someone's house and drinking and enjoying it. And all of a sudden it's like, oh no, you actually have to, like, we have to work. You have to do something.
No one's feeling sorry for you.
No, but I'm saying, like,
I was going to say, I was like, wait a second.
But for a fan, you have to watch it different. It isn't the same way you've been going to a Super Bowl party your entire life. It's different. Like, that's the surrealist we're saying.
I've heard from people already, too. They're like, yeah, I used to go to Super Bowl parties and stuff. No one watched the game. I'm not going to one because I want to watch the game. And I think it is going to be different probably in Kansas City because you might isolate yourself a little bit more than you have in the past where you've gone and watched the game in groups. You might want to actually watch and analyze the actual football of it.
But it's weird because you do want to experience that in a group because people probably remember that from the World Series run. The idea of being around people if it happens is great when it goes on the top end, right?
Oh, these bars are going to make a bunch of money. The grocery stores are going to sell more than they do for the annual snowstorms. And Clint can back me up on this. I don't have to get into the Pro Bowl as much because I'm a big Pro Bowl fan. There's no Chiefs.
Thank goodness.
That's the only thing.
For all of us.
You know, I was thinking about this last night.
We saved big for the Pro Bowl by getting this team to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, last night I was on 10-2. I thought I was on for you guys, but it was 10-2
at
night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so we're sitting in there. And I'm thinking last year I had flipped the switch to the Senior Bowl. I mean, it was all Senior Bowl coverage on my show because the Chiefs were done, you know. So we talked a lot of Senior Bowl.
Talking hand sizes.
We talked Pro Bowl.
Box jumps.
We've saved Bigley for the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
You mentioned
you're still going to watch it. Give me a break.
Yeah, are you going to watch it?
Of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Now there's – before I would watch five, there's zero reason to watch it.
Yeah, I probably won't have my Pro Bowl party this year, you know.
Pro Bowl party. I don't, you know, I typically would watch the Super Bowl with family and everything like that, but we had a caller yesterday, Nikki, I think it was. She called on the show and said they've been planning their wedding around the Super Bowl for a year, and now it's the Chiefs, and they're having their entire wedding geared toward watching the Chiefs in Kansas City. And I said, I hope they have a great wedding. Congratulations, everything like that. But there is, if I'm a guest, unless I'm in the wedding, there is no way I'm going.
What's wrong with you guys? Why wouldn't you go support your friend and watch the game?
No,
I'm glad you said that because if you have a wedding on a Super Bowl, you hate your friends. You do. And I always say the same thing with anybody who gets married in the fall. I had a guy call into the night show, and his wife has booked a cruise. And this is before the Chiefs even beat the Titans. Has booked a cruise. They're leaving during the Super Bowl. And he's a Chiefs, he's never thought they would be there. And I was like,
well,
man.
He has to go.
No. I said he needs a new wife.
Nick Kling's like, the man's married. He's going to stay married. He's gone. He's going.
He needs a new wife. Who does that to a man? I'm not kidding. Who does that to a man?
No, first, you first, cannot. I feel bad for Nikki. You guys, she said
I recommended
there's
going to
be.
Tinder. I recommended
she said people
Tinder.
Can wear jerseys. They're going to have free food and drink.
I like that Nikki's involved and realized the stakes that are, but this is also supposed to be her day.
Nikki, text us at 69306 or Twitter at Could It Be Tap. I'd like to send you something for you.
I feel like she's talking a good game because I think it's.
No, they said they're going to have four flat screen TVs that they're going to have their first dance at halftime. Here's my problem. Even if you want to take the football part out of it, if the Chiefs lose this game against the Niners, people are going to be all bummed out the rest of the night. And if they win, they're going to be celebrating the Super Bowl win, not your wedding. So it is.
And what if somebody in your wedding party actually got tickets to go to the Super Bowl and they had to make that conscious decision? Do I go to my best friend's wedding or do I go to the Super Bowl? To me, the choice is clear. You go to the Super Bowl. But what is someone going to have to think if they happen to get tickets?
Oh, well, I don't need tickets. If I was just invited, I'll send you a nice gift. I'm not going.
Yeah, send a gift.
Where are you registered at? Okay, gotcha.
Postcards.
I'm
going to
send
South
a couple
Beach.
Of these hoodies.
Yeah.
There's
a couple of AFC Championship
That's
hoodies.
That's it. I can't believe that. It sounds like you would have been willing to have your wedding set up around. You were.
No, I didn't say I do it myself. I'm just saying I don't disagree with way that she set it up.
I'm with Bink, though. You should not have a wedding during football season.
Absolutely.
Period.
Not. Because then your anniversary is going to be during football season every year. You know,
you two would say this. That like you have to just eliminate all weddings August through February.
Yes.
Yes.
There's plenty of it. You plan these years a year or two out anyway.
Get married
you?
In June. It's a great month
if
to get
you
married.
Want people to go. Yeah.
I've been married a couple times. It's a great time.
The forum here on Cody and Gold. We got Kling and Bank in studio with us. So the conversation we led the show with today, I want to get your guys' perspective on it. Everybody talks about New England over the last, really currently and over the last 10 plus years, about who gets credit for it, Belichick or Tom Brady, who gets credit for the success they've had. So we're only 2 years into this as a starting quarterback for Mahomes with Reed. What would you say right now, as far as breaking it down to percentage, who's been the bigger reason for the success?
Wow. I'd say, boy, it's hard to say because Andy Reid puts him in positions to win, but Pat Mahomes' talent is so big. What, you know, there's a lot of coaches that could probably win. Deshaun Watson actually got to where he was with Bill O'Brien, and Bill O'Brien's a clown. I would say, man, 35% Reid,
and
the rest Pat Mahomes.
Same
I don't know, maybe 40% Reid, 60% Pat Mahomes. I think they're both important together. That's tough. That's a tough question.
I was 65-35 in favor of Mahomes, maybe even 70-30.
I mean, it's hard not to.
I'm 50-50.
I mean, I kind of want to give Andy more credit too. At least early too. On. We're going to be able to know, but I just think the combination of two is just perfect. I know some of the national folks are kind of breaking down, you know, how influential his parts are around him too. And I'm like, it's the whole package, man. I mean, the kid's special, and he can play quarterback, and he can do things you can't teach and whatever. But he is also doing some stuff that they are teaching, right? And the positions he's putting everybody in, I think the combination's just been absolutely perfect. So I would probably lean more towards Cody in the 50-50 department because I think Andy, that combination with Andy, I would hate to see him with any other coach.
No, I'm with you. In the last 2 weeks when Mahomes has led the team in rushing, it's a byproduct of Andy Reid's offense. It's a byproduct of spreading the field. Those aren't designed quarterback runs. It's because the field is so wide open because everybody is so spaced out. Mahomes has, you know, unabated territory to run.
I said, how can you not, after watching the 27-yard touchdown run, say, like, I mean, that moment right there for me was a big reason why you would give the edge to Patrick Mahomes. Plus, I think after this Super Bowl, if Andy Reid loses this Super Bowl and he's 0-2, that percentage, I would imagine, maybe I'm speaking for you, I would imagine that would swing more in Mahomes' favor then in terms of the percentage. If they lose in the Super Bowl, Mahomes doesn't have bad games throughout his career. Doesn't have bad games if he doesn't
Never
perform.
Never been beaten by more than one score.
Right. He's always in the game. If they lose and Andy goes to 0-2, Mahomes happens to be 0-1 in the Super Bowl, to me, I think I may even, my 70-30 will be very strong at that point in time.
Yeah, because if they don't win the game, it's going to be on Andy.
Yeah, it's not going to be on Mahomes. That's exactly how the narrative will go.
Well, Mahomes' stats will never bear it being blamed on him. Like, there was a, you know, like an actual statistical analysis. Patrick Mahomes has never really had a below average game. Like, based on normal NFL quarterbacks, his games are either good or great. Good, very good, great. There is no, like, oh, Mahomes didn't have it today. Like, that doesn't exist in his repertoire. So, like, there's no game in which they'll be like, this is Mahomes' fault. Barring him throwing some, like, miserable pick when they're on the you know, on the goal line with up three with nothing to play. And even then, it'll be, why did Andy call that play? Right? Like, even then, there might be some question about whether or not
it's
that.
I think this side of turnovers, you might have that.
But at what point has he done that?
Right. But if he comes
but if
up,
he does
but
it,
if he
yes.
does it in a crucial situation, that would be times you're like, hey, Andy didn't throw that pick.
And he's going down yeah. swinging. Even in a loss, he's probably going to be about 400 yards and three touchdowns and a pick. You know what I'm saying? Even in a loss. Like, if they win, don't look for the numbers to be like that. That's why, you know, people look at the numbers last year. It's a byproduct of having a bad defense. He had to score. He had to score. He didn't have to do that anymore.
I just think it's a disservice to Andy to give it like 65-35 or 70-30 because – I'm not saying Patrick Mahomes wouldn't be. I am firmly in the camp of great players would be great no matter who they were. Michael Jordan would have been great whether he was on some miserable dump of a franchise for 20 years or he was with the Bulls. It wouldn't have mattered. He would have still been great.
You Mahomes think Tom Brady would have been great had he been in Cleveland?
This is why this conversation goes back to what – because that conversation starts with Brady and Belichick. And I always gave kind of the 60-40 edge to Belichick. I always thought it was more Belichick than it was Brady. But not no Brady. It wasn't like that didn't factor in. I'm surprised sometimes that people don't give more of that same advantage to Andy. I think that's why you and I are more 50-50. Even though Mahomes is great and his talent is unbelievable, I do think that Andy needs his share of this pie.
But I mean, if Patrick's in Chicago, okay, if he's a yeah. he's a Bear or he's in Buffalo.
He's still great.
He's not playing for a Super Bowl.
But he's not an MVP probably in his
he's
first
not an
year.
MVP.
If he's in Houston, he's right where Deshaun Watson is.
And he's probably not playing in a Super Bowl in year two.
Is that enough to make it 50-50, though? That's where I give the 30. Still give him the 30 or 35% on the coaching game. Like, I'm with you on the Belichick part. If we were to ask 5 years ago or now, I definitely side more that it's Belichick than Brady. And maybe as time goes on, if Andy Reid wins the Super Bowl in 2 weeks and – We're talking five years from now when he's got to eventually know.
Yeah, because he's
the coach matters.
Andy.
Yeah, we never got to find that out with Brady.
Let's say Brady had retired early on and Aaron Rodgers ended up in New England. How many rings would he have right now? He'd have much more than just one because of that coach and the importance of that coach.
But I'd say that same thing. Yeah. I'd say that same thing about Rodgers and Reed. Like, if those were the two that were paired together, they're the entire Aaron Rodgers career. We assume he'd have more than one, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is the best quarterback Andy's ever had. So now we're getting a chance to see the full version of what he's capable of doing. And it's not even close that this is the best quarterback he's ever had.
Is it the best team he's had, too?
I went back at that 04 roster. I think maybe we're doing a bit of a just. That was
that's
a
what
really.
I was thinking too. I'm like,
that
I'm like,
defense. The Eagles' defense roster. Was unbelievable.
As a whole, I still think I'd give the nod to that team.
But. That was the number two ranked defense in the NFL that year, the Eagles' defense that season. And they still had a Hall of Famer at wide receiver, and Westbrook is better than Damian Williams.
Yeah, and Jim Johnson, defensive coordinator, one of the best ever. Best in the history of the league.
I think a lot of that is it's recency bias, and we're all living in the moment of Patrick Mahomes right now more than anything else. And that particular comparison
between
the two.
And it's more total weapons for this team than it is for Andy. But the difference is, you know what it is? It's like, oh, their defense was better, and they had a Hall of Fame wide receiver. We don't know if Tyreek Hill's going to be a Hall of Famer yet, so we can't give him the edge there. And Westbrook's definitely better than Williams. And then I'm like, yeah, but what is the gap between McNabb and Mahomes at their
Chiefs -3
prime, right?
That would be the spread. Is that what you're putting at?
Like, what's the gap?
Bigley's already thought that's about this one. That's why he already had the spread.
Already played this.
He put it in Madden earlier.
Yeah, it's already been done. Chiefs win by 20.
To McNabb, but pretty big.
Yeah, sizable. That's a sizable gap. And so, like, even if the entirety of the roster was better, I still have to factor in like disparity of quarterback as being a major factor in which team qualifies as being better. Because, as we know, it's a pretty important position. Matters.
Does this Super Bowl change your guys' thought? Getting the Super Bowl, and if Chris Jones performs well in the Super Bowl, does it change how you view the Chiefs should approach his future? You know, right in this offseason, a lot of people, and I'm in the camp of tag like him and trade him, or like is it set already?
I feel like he's got his scoreboard. He's got his scoreboard number, regardless of how next.
But if you're the Chiefs, and let's whatever mindset they already had a month ago, 6 months ago, about his future, they're going to franchise trade, whatever it may be. Do you think this run through the postseason, especially if it ends in the Super Bowl, changes anything?
I think it changes a little if you have a ring, because then you've already won your ultimate prize, and it's about building again with Pat Mahomes. But I think that's big. If you win the Super Bowl ring, how
you think
important,
it's easier to let Chris Jones go?
I think so. It's important to me. The Eagle back last week, even when he wasn't on the field, they had hardly any quarterback pressures and no sacks. When he did play, because he barely played the first half, when he was on the field, 3 sacks for the defense because he commands so much attention. But the bottom line is, once you have that Super Bowl ring, then does everything become as important instead of just Pat Mahomes? Because you remember Tom Brady, everything, Deion Branch, Troy Brown, Randy Moss never won a ring with him. But all these parts moved around. But if you have the ring, does that change how you feel about signing somebody?
But that's the one team that's been able to do with that level of rotation. All the other dynasties we're talking about just kept them all together for as long
better
as they
or
could.
Worse, yeah.
But it's
they
all, let like, people, all the like, other Ty dynasties Law. Are within like 6-year windows. Like, we just kept everyone together as long as we could, not go for it for 15 or 20.
I think it largely depends, too, on where the gap is between Jones's people and the Chiefs people, because we were told it was very big last offseason. He's done nothing to say, I should bring my price down.
They're looking at the biggest offensive contract and the biggest defense.
That's the problem. Is you just gave 100.
Are the Chiefs cool with bringing their number up? Because there's no reason Chris Jones to bring his number down. In fact, it might be higher.
Yeah, you just gave $100 million to Frank Clark. We know what's coming from Mahomes. You're gonna have two guys on the defensive line.
He's
worth $100 million.
He's gonna bang.
My gut still tells me it's gonna be they're gonna franchise tag him and then trade him.
I think so. Yep.
I mean, that's maximum value. I think it's stupid. I think it's stupid to just say, let's give away great players and try to get other great ones with picks. Like, oh, great. Good luck. Good luck. That always works out.
But if you get that ring, though, it does change your mindset a little bit because you're not chasing
that part of it is
carrot.
True.
You caught the carrot.
Because if they don't, they lose in the Super Bowl, they're like, what the hell are we going to do? We're going to let Chris Jones go?
No,
this
I
close?
Think that changes
right.
your
and
mindset.
And we're going to let Chris Jones
like,
go? Oh, God.
Like, we need him. We've got to find a way. And I've always been in this camp. I always felt, and I heard CDOT talking about this one day. He said one player. I said two. You should be able to take an offensive contract and defensive contract and not count against the cap. Like, I don't believe your quarterback should ever count against
the
cap.
I've been firmly in that camp for a while that the salary cap applies to everybody but the quarterback. You let teams pay the quarterback whatever they want.
Yes, to keep him in place, but don't count that against the cap.
I mean, I love that now, knowing that the Chiefs got Mahomes and we know what's coming.
Yeah,
like,
can you imagine,
I love it.
Can you imagine paying Mahomes not having the cap hit?
That would be incredible.
I almost don't like it still for Kansas. It's football, so the money.
Why wouldn't you like it for Kansas City?
They're a smaller market. I don't want teams getting in an arms race against massive markets that will pay quarterbacks $60 million a year.
Yeah, but the NFL, everything's the same.
I've done lived salary cap versus not in this city long enough. I don't like the idea of like, well, New York.
But it's one position.
What are the Giants? I know, but what are the Giants willing to pay a quarterback per year versus what an actual smaller?
But the teams get the same amount of money.
You know what's really bad for is
they
the
all
Rangers,
get the same
they don't
cash.
Have any money. They'd be screwed.
TV and all that split.
Yeah, but they're not worth the same amount of money to start. Like,
if you can afford $40 million for the quarterback here versus $80 million for the quarterback in New York.
Yes, by comparison, Mark Davis is like me to like what real people make in like TV in this city.
Sure, the new Panthers
versus,
owner
like,
Tepper.
He's broke. It's like, oh, you guys
loaded.
All do this. Yeah. Yeah, if you've got $10 billion versus one, you might be a little bit more willing to pony up whatever dollar amount it takes in order to keep that guy around, right?
That's the Forum with Kling and Bink. Thanks so much, guys, for coming in studio. Appreciate it.
We've solved that Bink's not nope. high on the Pro Bowl, so that's good.
No Pro Bowl this year.
You're saying,
you know what? They got rid of the drone drop last year. I'm just very upset.
What's trending coming up next?
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.